Today's scripture reading is found in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. That is Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. She said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land. Terror over you has overwhelmed us. The entire population of the land has melted down in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water and the Red Sea in front of you while you left Egypt. We have also heard that you did what you did in Sion and Og, the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan. You utterly wiped them out. We heard this, and our hearts turned to water because of you. People can no longer work up the courage. This is because the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." May God bless the reading of his word.
As far as possible, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, speak through me as you will, Father. Make alive your scriptures through your spirit. Help us, Lord, to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is about Rahab. I should warn you, there's a series coming up. Jim Holloway had asked me to do a bunch of sermons about different women in the Bible, and I'm still trying to noodle out why, but that's all right. So Rahab was the first one in the series that I wanted to do. And it's a fascinating character because I love scriptures because scriptures seem, not only do they tell us a Bible story, not only do they tell us something wonderful about God did for us, but somehow in these Bible stories, they're able to tell other Bible stories. Our God is so awesome, so complex that he's able to put layers within the scriptures. And when you think you know all the Bible stories, well, guess again, God has a message for you inside of the Bible stories. How awesome is that? So here we are in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Moses had just died. He had failed to enter into the promised land because he broke the law. He misrepresented God, and for that, God could not allow him to enter into the promised land without seeing death first. Okay, so here's Joshua, the one who is to take over in his stead. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over to this Jordan, thou and all thy people, and on land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Finally, after all the years of waiting, all the years of trouble and trials, and 40 years of all this stuff that's going on in the desert, they finally get the thing that they've been hoping for, preaching about for decades. He says, "From the wilderness, from this Lebanon, which is to the north, and even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast." God promised them a big chunk of land. It's bigger than they're in even now. Come on. It said, "There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." He says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Unto thou strong and be thou very strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, from the right hand or to the left, thou mayest prosper whither thou soever goest." This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You want to have good success and you want to prosper in life, this is great. This is great advice. Turn not from the book of the law. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whether so thou goest. If God gives you a mission and God gives you everything you need to do, be of good courage, because God will stand with you and he will provide everything that you need. Now, when I read these things, I'm always looking. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, now all these things. Let's talk about the children of Israel, how they were marched to the Red Sea and how they were baptized. I love the scripture. It says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth are come. It's no accident that these Bible stories that we have are given to us the way that they are. And some of them are kind of weird. There's a lot of people in there, like Rahab, who was a prostitute. Why do we need to know this? Why is this in the scriptures? There's a reason for it. Because these things were given as examples, and that they were written for our admonition, so that we could be lifted up upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now just ponder this for a moment. The letter J, Justin or Joshua and all that, that's a gift to us from the English language. The way you would pronounce this is Yeshua. And I just think, isn't this something? If I say to you, Yeshua, who would you think of? Exactly. Yeshua means Jehovah saves. Okay? And that's the same name, Yeshua, that's applied to Jesus. It's applied to it in Hebrews chapter 4. It's applied to, and unto them you shall name him Jesus. It's Yeshua. It's the same root word. It's the same meaning here. Now think about this. Now when Jesus was reading through the scriptures and when Jesus was preparing for his ministry, he's reading about Yeshua picking up the work where the law failed and to carry God's people into the promised land. Now watch this. This is cool. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass to the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. That's food. That's where the word victuals comes from, by the way. Remember the hillbillies, victuals? It comes from here, the scriptures. Victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go to the possessed land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. After 3 days, you will receive the promise. After 3 days, you will receive the thing that you've been hoping for all along. And then Jesus laid in the tomb for 3 days, and then he ascended to his Father in heaven. But there's more. This is Joshua chapter 1. You can't really read that. But be strong and of good courage, and for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Jesus gave us that inheritance. Jesus prepared us. Jesus was to be strong and be of good courage, for this people, his people, shall divide the inheritance. We're headed towards the promised land. We're headed towards what God has promised us, and which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, thou may observe according to the law. And what part did Jesus fail in the law? None. Not one little bit did Jesus fail in the law. And Jesus got his strength and his courage and everything from God the Father. And he did it through serving God, serving this book of the law, so that that may not depart out of his mouth, but thou shalt meditate up therein day and night, and thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written. And Jesus did that perfectly. Yeshua did it perfectly. Joshua chapter 2. So before they set off, to keep in mind, Joshua is still in the wilderness. The Jordan River was close by. The promised land was just across the river, but they had not crossed over yet. So what Joshua did is he sent out two spies to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land of Jericho. And they went to a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Jericho was the first major city that they would come to. Jericho was the big, giant fortress just on this side of the Jordan River So that was intimidating. It was huge. And if it worked out, they could have crushed this army of God's people. So Joshua sent spies into the land. And isn't it interesting that they went to a harlot's house? I wonder why. They didn't have a Super 8, I guess. But there's a reason for that. And I do believe it's this. In order to be in that profession, you have to suspend your morality. You have to suspend asking questions. You just put things to the side. You don't ask questions. You don't, you know, in order to do that, you have to set aside all the things that God's put inside of you to be a warning. And so all kinds of people went through there all the time, and they didn't ask questions who they were, so it was the perfect place to go. It says that they went and they lodged there. And it was told of the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men hither." Somebody saw this and told the king. Rahab didn't tell the king. Rahab was just like, whatever, show me your money. Room over there, whatever. She didn't care. But the other people that were there, they saw these two spies, and they went and told the king. Then the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth these men, that they may come to me, which are entered into thine house, for they have become to search out the country." What was happening was, as the children of Israel were coming closer to the promised land, their reputation was going before them. They saw what happened to the king Og, the king Sihon, and now this message was getting onto them. Like, and then somehow these guys here in Jericho, these people in Jericho had the idea, you're next. And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said thus, she hid them. She put them up on the roof, and she said thus, "There came unto me, but I wist not whence they were." We don't speak like that anymore. She says, "I don't know where they went. They're here, they're gone, I don't know, I didn't see them." So then it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, you know, about sundown when they closed the gate up, it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I don't know. Pursued them, but if you go quickly, you guys can probably catch them. Hurry, go get them. Little did they know, she was hiding them on the roof. Think about the peril she put herself into. She was lying to the king. Why? Why would this prostitute do this for these two strangers that walked in? But there was something working on in her heart. Something wonderful was happening. The Spirit of God was resting upon her, and God was giving a message of mercy even to Jericho. But she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan. And so it says the men from the city ran out after them, pursued them the way to the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So that way, you know, just in case they were hiding around or they couldn't sneak back in. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." She went up and talked to these guys. "I know that the Lord has given you this land." How would she know this? See, God in his infinite mercy knows who you are and where you are, and he knows how to reach out to you, and he was giving a message of mercy to this lady. And God didn't seem to care what her profession was or what she did or what she looked like or all that. He's like, he read her heart and he said, "You know what? I have something wonderful for you." She said unto them, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Can you imagine? A couple million people ready to take your city. Just on the other side of the river. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when they came out of Egypt, what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." You think people aren't watching you? Guess what? People are watching you. Isn't that something? We just ponder that notion for a moment. That's how important it is to live our lives for God, because whether what we're while they were walking around in the desert complaining about the birds and this, the plants and this, the leeks and the onions were better in Egypt, the rest of the people in the promised land were looking and they're saying, wow, God is doing something wonderful and he's coming here. And they were terrified. Verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Isn't that something? How would she know this? Now therefore I pray, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that I will also, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. This woman knew what was coming. This woman was giving the message, was given the message of mercy, and she was saying, please save my family too. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And notice here, even the spies, they said, yeah, when we come and break this city down, he says, no, when the Lord hath delivered us, hath given us this land. They tell her, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy household come. It says that she lived on the side of the wall. Okay, all the armies were out looking for these guys, and she lived up on the wall, and she lowered them down with a scarlet cord down the side of the building until they could escape into safety. And they told her, take this scarlet cord, tie it in the window, and then we will know it is your house. He said, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, look, when you see the city being sieged, and you go out and you leave this place of safety, your blood will be on your head. And whoever shall be with thee in the house, this blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which is thou hast made us swear. That's kind of, we don't speak like that anymore. But what they're saying here is, if you speak a word of this, then this oath is not binding on anybody here. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, isn't it something? The children of Israel, on the day that they had left Egypt, were to take the blood of the lamb and splash it on the doorposts, and the angel of death would pass over. Here, Rahab is to take this scarlet cord, this red cord, and tie it around her window, and the angel of death would pass over this house. Those who would put the blood of Jesus on the doorposts of their heart will have the angel of death pass over them. I love these scriptures. The scriptures tell, the Bible stories tell Bible stories. Isn't this cool? And it came to pass, after the 3 days went through the host, the officers went through the host, so that means that the officers marched through their armies. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Joshua was marshaling his army. He was getting ready to go, and they had the Jordan River in their way. And this wasn't something you could just walk across even on a good day. It was dangerous at best, and it marched 2 million people through it. It's not so much. Yeah, it's also the time of the flood, springtime flood. So for them to march through would literally be impossible. Joshua was told by the Lord to do something here. He says here, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. When you see the Ark of the Covenant go, you follow. And there shall come a space between you and it, so 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near it. So it's saying, look, give it space. Don't go near it. Just let it be, okay? For you have passed this way, have not passed this way heretofore. You haven't been this way before. It says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do we do that anymore? Think about that. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. To have that kind of faith is awesome. So what they did, they wrapped the ark. It was wrapped up in all these different cloths. I don't know that all the artist depictions are always right. But what they did is the ark, carried by the priests, got down into the water, and their feet were wet. And as they did, the Jordan River, swollen with the spring, swollen with the rains, divided. And the people marched through on dry ground. And it's always been my belief that the Jordan River has been this divider between the promised land and where the wilderness that we suffer through. Somehow the Jordan is the divider. It's always been my belief that the Jordan River is symbolic of death. Because in order to pass to the promised land, you have to pass through the Jordan River. And these people, God's people, pass through the Jordan River, this barrier, on dry ground. Through God's promises, through God's provisions. It's awesome. The same Jesus, Yeshua, was marshaling the army to enter God's people into the promised land. And he would do it on dry ground. Land. Jesus is coming, and this says, even we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord near, and we shall ever be with the Lord. We shall do it without passing through death. Bible stories tell Bible stories. I love this. I really, really, really love this. Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua, Yeshua, spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark and went before the people, and they said, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. God is saying, look, when you see this, you will know, people will know that you can trust Joshua, Yeshua. As you see these miracles happen, we can trust Yeshua, Jesus. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water, where to go? Brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand in the Jordan. And by faith, Joshua, Yeshua, did as the Lord commanded him. By faith, Yeshua led his people, led by the priests, led by the law, by the Ark of the Covenant, which had the Ten Commandments, and it had Aaron's rod, and it had a jar of manna. And on top of it, it had the mercy seat. The law covered by his mercy seat being carried to the brink of this Jordan River, and God would open the way. Awesome. Awesome. And then in Joshua chapter 5, people crossed over into the promised land, and they did something interesting. Not sure if it's part of the sermon or not, but it is today. So there you go. In Joshua chapter 5, says that they stopped and they kept the Passover. Isn't it something? So they've been wandering the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, once a year, they would stop and they would commemorate being delivered from the Egypt. They would commemorate the Passover and that they're being delivered from Egypt, from slavery, into their own nation. And on this day, this Passover, they were in the promised land. They finally received the promise and everything that God had said that he would do, and they sent, the first thing they did when they crossed over was to remember what great things God had done. It's like with Adam and Eve. God created everything on the sixth day, on 5 days, and the sixth day he created man, and God's Adam's first day in existence, he spent time in worship on the Sabbath. It's awesome. It's awesome. Joshua chapter 6 here. Now, okay, now they're finally ready to go. They're finally ready to take this city. So they had been brought up to the edge of the promised land. God had miraculously walked them through on dry land. They spent time worshiping God on the other side, and now they were ready to go. Huge city, high walls. It's nothing you could take a stick or a knife and just take the city. There was huge gates, huge walls, and the army was ready for them. But God had a plan. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given thee into the hand of into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city. Thus ye shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns." The ark, seven trumpets of ram horns, and the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow their trumpets. And it comes to pass that when they'll make a long blast with the round ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with great joy, and the wall of that city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. God's attack plan here was to march around the city on Monday. It was on Tuesday to go out and march around the city one time. On Wednesday, go out and march around the city and blow the ram's horns. These Jericho people must have thought they were insane. Like, what are you doing? What are you possibly doing? They say marched around the city, they blew their trumpets, and they went home for 6 days. But on the seventh day, they said, well, here they are again, marching around the city. And they did it seven times. And then the trumpets blew, and then the people shouted. And destruction came upon Jericho in one moment, in one day. 6 days, they had this warning that this was going to happen. For 6 days, they had this warning that the God's army was surrounding them. And for 6 days, they didn't repent. They didn't turn, say, oh, hey, we're sorry. Hey, come on in, we'll have a peace treaty. No, they didn't do that. And on the seventh day, people shouted and the city fell. So the people shouted with the priests shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and come to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went in before the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how God wins battles. I don't have to take you guys to the gun show here. That doesn't do any good. But it's by God's spirit, that God's spirit working upon the hearts of men, that mighty battles are won. And I'm here to tell you that there's walls in your life today. And the God can take those walls down. He can tear them down. But it's not by your strength or by your might, but by his spirit working in your life. The sermon was about Rahab, right? Not Joshua. So, well, we have to go back and visit Rahab here. It says here, but Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, and ye, as you swore to her. Yeshua, remember the promise that was made to the woman. Yeshua was going to make good on everything that she had done for them. And the young men that the spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all of her kindred and left them without, that's outside the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury at the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Yeshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now keep in mind something here. As in the days of Noah, one family made it out alive. One family. In the days of Rahab in Jericho, one family made it out alive. It's the same family. It's the same story that's being told today. There's a woman clothed in the sun, standing upon the moon with 12 stars in her hand. 12 stars. This is God's church. One family is going to make it out of here. The armies of Yeshua are coming to take this land. The cup of indignation is full. God has had enough, and he's going to take this land back for himself. And those who are in this earth will be of one family, and that one family will be redeemed. It says here, Salmon begot Boaz. This is not Joshua. I messed that up. That's Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse, and the lineage goes on. God, this woman would become the lineage of Jesus Christ. God took this prostitute out of a pagan city, and she would become one of the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have this idea of what church ought to be, this perfect place where everything is wonderful all the time, and the people are great and wonderful. Guess what? God takes people that you wouldn't choose, and he creates a family for himself. We shall be saved by faith. Two spies went into the land. Two spies made a promise with Rahab. No different than the Old and the New Testament that was witnessing in the book of Revelation. When we make a covenant with God, he will honor that covenant, and by faith he was going to deliver us. We have this idea that church is going to be this perfect place and people won't be mean, they won't say stupid things. Well, guess what? They will. I'm sorry. Church is full of stupid people. I'm sorry. I'm one of them. But I know this. God takes the faithful and he makes them into family, and he will deliver them on the day that he comes again. We have been promised by him that he will come again. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And God is pleading with us now. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. I don't know how this works in you, but take that scarlet cord and wrap it around your window. Take the blood of the lamb and splash it upon a doorpost, and God will deliver you from the day and that day when he comes. And as broken, as weird as we all are, we're family. You are my family, and I love you all. So let's get ready. Let's get ready for Jesus to come back again, okay? Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, we know you're coming again. We know that you are faithful and true. Help us to put out the scarlet cord so that whatever happens will pass over us, and that you would bring us into the promised land. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.